Power 4, Reel 2 of Games Congress 1956. Copyrighted by L. Ron Hubbard 1956 with all performance rights reserved. Tape recording number 5609CO1GC1. Power 4 consists of a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard entitled Games Conditions versus No Games Conditions.
We have something that might be of interest to you. We have some material, material concerning Scientology, which is the difference between a workable process and an unworkable process. This material is just a little bit technical. I hope those of you who are not fully acquainted with earlier material in Scientology won't find this too abstruse. We will start in by saying at once that life is a game. What is life? Life is a game. Yes, I know, but what are people doing? They're playing a game. Well, yeah, but what kind of games are they playing? Well, they're playing games they know they're playing and games they don't know they're playing. Well, there must be more to life than that. Yes, there is. There's no game. Well, you mean to tell me that there's only one item? Then are you really concerned with games? That's impossible. Because there's one thing going on. Well, it isn't just one thing. All life and its various involvement is involved in games. That's all it is. It works out that way, it processes that way, and the whole problem and difficulty solves that way. Do you see that? No matter what and no matter how we try to analyze and reanalyze existence, there doesn't seem to be any method at this time which is better than calling it a game. A game has many factors, and these factors are all very nicely answered. So that we have four types of games, that is, four game conditions, you might say. There is a game condition, knowing. A man knows he is playing a game, and therefore he is living. A man thinks he is playing a game of living, but is actually playing five or six other games he doesn't know he's playing. Well, that's an aberrated condition. What is the aberration? The aberration is totally concerned with an unknowing game condition in which he's involved. If he doesn't know he's playing these games, why then they are aberrative to it. Well, how about no game conditions? Well, actually, no game conditions are quite interesting, since they are the stuff of which Satan is made. For many millennia, man, able to write, has fought for truth. Able to write, able to talk, able to think. Look, Jared, he sought for truth. Scientology might have been called at one time or another just another search for truth. A hideous thing to realize that man's search for truth was bound to failure. It could not have been possible for man to have discovered truth, since the totality of the barriers which lie between him and truth consist of games, lies, difficulties. And unless he goes in a game condition, unless he goes into a condition of non-factuality, he never arrives in a condition of truth. It was almost more likely that some gambler, some drunken gambler, on a Mississippi River steamboat would have discovered more about living than a swami sitting on the highest mountain in the Himalayas. It's almost certain that such a condition would have benefited in its chances the gambler. Why? The gambler is in a game condition, not because he plays games with cards, because he's living. He is in contact with life. He is living life, and therefore he has to estimate the elements of life. And estimating the elements of life, he is then and there capable of coming up with some truth. The road to truth for a man who has been living lies through life. By examining and processing the lies that are told, he achieves truth. If he tries to achieve truth directly, he perishes on the road. And thus, we've had a narrow squeak. We were seeking for truth. And if these factors had not been discovered, it is very, very likely that our search would have dead-ended. Since a man cannot handle truth alone and come up with answers to anything. This is the most hideous little booby trap that was ever rigged. Life is a game. You have to address the games the man is playing and has played in order to restore him to a condition where he is able to sit serenely or play a game at will. The road out led through the path of lies. Pilgrim's Progress is a terribly interesting thing. I've run it out of enough pre-clears. But they talk about the Primrose Path. And it goes this way and that way and winds up and this is about as soon as the free cut, you know, free cut path. So what you want to do is stay on that straight narrow path, brother. That straight narrow path, it just goes on and on and on and it fades into the fire, just straight and narrow. And that would be a method of dying slowly by inches or millennia. The Primrose Path, which you were supposed to avoid, is the trouble with truth. This for sure. One goes through the dark and corny grounds and over and under and around and above and below, and he says, sooner or later, I'll come out on the high road. Well, I'll tell you, it's a funny thing, he does. Providing he's willing to walk the Primrose Path. But if all he's interested in is just walking down that straight, narrow road, I wouldn't give you a fact for his chances of survival, for his ability, or for anything else. In other words, the road to truth detours through games, through aberrative conditions, through stress and strife. Games is the common denominator of it. And those games contain freedom, barriers, and purposes. And the road back is the same road. And to sit with a nice turban on and contemplate their navel, or whatever they do, in the upper snowy regions of India, pronounced India, might benefit other people whom you would not trouble. But it's not likely to do anything for you. Life comes apart at the seams and is understood and restores itself to any condition you care to have only so long as it follows through game. You haven't got much choice about it. We would love to say to somebody, be 3 feet back your head, you're quick. I hate to confess to you that there were numbers of processes that we had that violated these conditions. They were no game conditions. We didn't have the information, so we can't say that we were right or wrong, but there were a number of them that violated these principles I'm talking to you about. In other words, the process which was a game condition process, a process straight as games, was workable. I don't care when that was. But a process which was not a game condition process, which was a no game condition process, just dead-ended. Good. Now, where you have a great deal of difficulty, where you have a great deal of difficulty with a case, where somebody's being aberrated, where somebody's doing something that is incomprehensible to you and the rest of the world and is damaging to those around him, it all seems to sum down to just this alone. And this is the one thing it summing to. He is in this sort of a condition. He's played a game. He was hurt while playing that game. The game itself is not a sort of an engram. He doesn't even know he's playing it. and he is still playing that game. The game itself is actually a no-game condition because it's lost and gone and back on the track, but it was a game. There was some sort of a game that he was playing at some time or another. Now he's forgotten he's playing that game, and there he goes. You take an old football player. Take an old football player. All right, he doesn't play football anymore. To some slight degree, he still plays football. But that's not amputated. His football was not amputated. He could have been chewed up and walked over with, however they do it, to Notre Dame, with the cleats on guys' faces and chests. He could have just been stamped on. He could have lost his girl because he played football. He could have had his career ruined. Just pile it up. You say, well, obviously, what's wrong with this man is he's playing football and he no longer has a game. Well, that would be about the shallowest look at it you ever saw. Why? He knows he was once a football player. So at once it takes it out of the aberrative category. Yes, he is suffering to some degree from a game condition, but that is not what is wrong with the case. The unknown game's condition, the game's condition he does not know about, is the condition from which he is suffering. All aberration must contain the element of unknowingness. When it becomes known fully, it will no longer be aberrative, which makes people ransack their past. But there are many ways to make these things become known. Very, very many ways to make these things become known. We have processes today that do it much more rapidly than pre-clear flight. The force and velocity of processes is of great interest to us today, because their force and velocity and effectiveness depends entirely upon the rock foundation of games condition and no games condition. This isn't just something that I thought of. This is something that was gradually being borne in upon me, that there was a category here that was one thing and a category that was another thing, and these things didn't agree with each other. And there was something wrong here. I tried in vain, really, to discover fully why some processes worked and some didn't work. Some were limited processes. That is to say, they'd only process, but maybe even very effectively, for two or three auditing commands, or 2 or 3 hours, or in the case of running engrams, probably maximally about 500 hours. Those processes were all limited. They dead-ended somewhere. Why did they dead-end? And what were these other processes which were, you might call, unlimited processes? Well, they were elements here for which there was no accounting. An individual, you'd say, I'll give you an example. We have a fellow who's having trouble with the fact that his mother has been rather mean to him. So we say something on the order of this. We say, look around the room and tell me something your mother can have. Now we could say, look around the room and tell me something you can have, and the fellow gets well. We tell him, look around the room and tell me something your mother can have, and he gets sick. What is going on here? It's practically the same auditing command. Well, you say his self-determinism, or his basic greed, or this or that. Something else was being violated here. Yes, something else was being violated, but I'm afraid it was nothing that you could brush off with a word like greed. There was something going on. Some great difficulty, probably sufficiently complex as to make it escape attention entirely. Why wouldn't the auditing command run on mother as well as the preclear? It just wouldn't, though. Well, we say, this is very easy. This is easy. Look around the room and tell me something your body can have, undoubtedly would work because most preclears are their body. So we tell them, look around the room and tell me something that you could have. Process. Look around the room and tell me something your body could have. We already know you could have. Works makes you feel better. Why not body? Look around the room and tell me something your body could have. Does not work. He runs it an hour or so and he's got a headache. Why? Now, that is the goofiest little puzzle that I ever got mixed up with. I won't give you a blow-by-blow account of the oddities and peculiarities which were thought through and the number of staff auditors which all but blew their brains out auditing little slips of paper which would be passed through them on pre-clear, you know. They'd audit something on the pre-clear and they'd say, well, Tom said this was a good process, so go ahead, and I'll send the pre-clear button. They say so, and Ron checks off another one. Some long time ago, I made up a list of about 500 different reasons why. They were the reasons why life was living. What was it living about or for? There were 500 possible motives, more or less. Life was being lived on the basis that one, I'll give you sort of an idea, what is the motive of life? So that one could love one's neighbor. That's one. You audit this on a person, they go. All right, so we had all these various types of things. You see, philosophers from the beginning of time, practically, have been saying why it's all whyness. And Skip Schopenhauer, a German, that had more bad temper than good grammar. Schopenhauer does write impeccably good grammar. The only trouble is you can't understand it even in German. A sample of Schopenhauerian wit is that stubbornness is the state of the will taking the place of the intellect. Nicely involved, isn't it? Didn't go anyplace. Well, anyway, he said that life was living in order to die. Also, I put that down on the list too, you know. Life was living in order to die. All this stuff, thing about death weight. The only thing you could really do about life was really get even with it and just kill everything. Well, such things as this, scraps and bits and pieces from the Greek, the German, from the various barbaric philosophies and so on that one runs across. Put all these things down. And almost accidentally, along about 205, I remember that people used to say all the time that writing was a game and business was a game, this was a game. So I forgot life was a game. And went on, you know, happily on down the rest of the list. Putting down very deep philosophic things, you see, that have good substance and solidity and have been respected for generations. Then I went back and started it. Test of this one. Pre-computation. All possible types of reasons why. I got down and almost, 150 down the line, I found games again before I came across it on the list. Can have on self works. Can't have on body doesn't work. It does work. You see, can have on body doesn't work. Can have on mother doesn't lie. Because everybody arrives engaged with playing a game and is capable, particularly as he falls down through the dynamics, of taking on any item as an opponent. And he is very, very scarce on opponents. And to let your opponent have something is defeat. And this works out so fantastically. You put a figure in a chair, you smile like a crocodile, you know, on the Nile. You say, doing very, very cheerfully, very happily, you say, all right, now, look around the room and find something that your mother can have. Keep it up. And obviously, it's a generous, good, self-sacrificing impulse that no child should be without. Then you quickly go and finally say, you know, something's wrong in your head. And you say, well, that's all right. Just look around the room and tell me something else that mother could have. And he eventually just sort of drops out the bottom and he's sweeping over to one side to make another experiment. Anyhow.
What on earth?
Well, if this were game condition, then there would be only one command that would run about Mother as far as Paddington is concerned. We'll take up Paddington. Wow. I can just give you a fast pass out of, you know, that yesterday I told you about solids, why below effort. Well, that's Paddington. Anyhow, tolerance of solids is first approached by this process called what can he have. Now we take this deck person and we process this ungenerous, mean, vicious thing that nobody would subscribe to, particularly parents. And we start running this fellow on. Now look around at him and tell me something your mother can't have. She can't have. She can have everything. Another. And it just runs by the hour, and he gets better, and he gets better, and he gets better and better. But it sounds so outrageous that only somebody as monomanic as myself on finding the end of track on Scientology would ever have let it be run that many hours. Because obviously it's not right. It isn't. Goes against the Ten Commandments. The Bureau of Ordnance. Even goes against the apparently of the case that every time you really ask us, what could your mother have? You walk up to somebody on the street and say, what could your mother have? You think, oh, I would buy her the world if I could. See, people don't even cognite on this one. Now, another funny thing, if you ask an individual what a jail could have, asking, what can a jail have? You ever run into anything quite so greedy? And a preacher will tell you at once a jail can have anything. Everything. You, him, us, we, everybody. Yes. But not about filling that clock and that ceiling and the roof and so forth. You can't find enough things that a jail can have. Now we say, now look at here. We obviously had an aberration there. And it was that the jail could have things, and that we simply fill up the jail vacuum. See the reasoning? But he's all wrong. If we just fill up the jail vacuum, you'll get over being afraid of jails. Ah, another phenomenon occurs that escaped all of us. And I'll show you what was fouling up our research from beginning to end, as well as games. Did you ever hear of the small matter of a below zero tone scale? Did you hear that? Boy, I tell you, I looked back at myself with absolute awe here the other day. I said, you know, that's 3 years old. I said, gee, boy, I said, you're right. Think of that, 3 years ago, you wrote this thing. And I said, you dumb blank. Why didn't you ever use it? That's the question. Why didn't we ever really use it? We had it right there. We've had it for years. And it tells us something that we even knew in 1950. We used to say, you know, arthritis, you can always process the fellow into apathy, so he loses his arthritis. You know, we know that thing. Well, what's this below zero thing? Pre-clears on at least one or more items are below apathy and have to be processed like mad before they ever get into apathy. And the processes which were being functional were bringing pre-clears up to apathy, and I thought it was driving them down to apathy. I'm afraid that my first reaction of, gee, Ronnie, you're smart, has never been able to counteract the feeling of stupidness which I've had since. I'll give you the pat example of such things. How could anyone guess that on one or more subjects anybody would be so far below apathy that he didn't even know he was in trouble? And he could process in that van and evidently feel all right and feel better about it and never get over it. Most fabulous thing you ever saw. And that some cases across the boards were below apathy, body plus Satan. The body would have had to have gotten well to die.
Yesterday it contains on down the line, perceive, emote, all the various categories of emotions, and then effort, and then solid, and then think, and then on down through symbols, E, sex, and mystery. Well, we could get all the way down there. Where are these things called think and mystery? Why these things? Oh, I'm afraid that they're down here at 0.0. And that's mystery. And then we go south.
Think about it particularly, but he can't think about it, but it doesn't worry him, but there's no emotional content to it, but it's all right, he doesn't care, it doesn't make any difference to him, it isn't worrying him a bit. And you process him on it for about 3 hours, he all of a sudden says, I feel like I'm dying. You say, obviously under old research, we would have said, you know, this process isn't working. This process isn't working because he's getting worse. And that was not right. But we processed him another 3 hours on the same problem and he came right up tone scale. He got to a point where he could be apathetic about his problem. And from being apathetic, he could move up and he'd cry about it. He'd be afraid of it and he'd be angry about it and antagonistic and bored, and then he'd be enthusiastic about having such a lovely problem. We used to think, you see, that your pre-clear went downscale when we processed the wrong process on it, because he would start to feel something. We'd run a process for a little while, and he'd feel bad. And we'd say, well, that's not a good process. You can make pre-clear any better at all. And this was the observational factor which was messing up our test processes. It's unthinkable that somebody could be processed for a couple, 3 hours on a very heavy, biting process with no reaction at all before they reached apathy. But having reached apathy, be processed 2 or 3 more hours, upscale gradually until they're over the hump on the problem and feel very, very good about the whole thing. In other words, the processes that were really good processes were then disguised and hidden under the fact that when they were used on the difficulties the case was really having, when they were used for a little while, the case felt worse. I'll give you one. Let's take separateness. You know that separateness runs easily, runs well. People feel better with it. You don't even run into having problems, particularly if you're a very gentle auditor. you say, look around the room and find something you wouldn't mind being separate from. And then you get feeling a little bit better and so forth, and it just processes on and on and on and on, and then all of a sudden you get it's loss of habit or something like that. But she is incapable, usually, on such a line, of expressing any emotion for the excellent reason that he is below the tone in which he can feel. He can't feel, emote, or react. He's below that tone in which he can actually experience. That's a fantastic thing. So we run the other one. Now, the reason why this is important, we made a basic test, and this was the deciding test as to whether or not a faith was going into things or coming out. And the test was went this way. Look around and find something you wouldn't mind being connected with. And that run for about 20 minutes practically plows a guy in. He starts feeling bad. He doesn't want to have all these things happening to him. He gets upset. He feels miserable. So we said his ambition is to be separate. Separateness is the truth. Connectedness is the lie. And you have to process the lie in order to reach the truth. And if you process connectedness, he gets to feeling worse and worse and worse and worse. And we always thought feeling worse was going downscale. In this case, it's going upscale. And he keeps feeling worse and worse and finally gets to be apathetic about it. We ran a preclear who had no results on his case at all for about 2 or 3 years. He had not been audited by anybody very significant, or they probably would have done something to him. But he had never seen an enzyme that done this, done that. And he finally was running a problem, and the problem came up to apathy, and he says, I'm bored with it. And the next day, he came back to the auditor and said, you know, I've made a fantastic discovery. You know that apathy and boredom are different. And he says, I wasn't being bored, I was being apathetic about it, and that's what I've always mistaken for boredom. Now there was a case that was functioning, evidently doing all right, so on. But we had to know the game's condition of it, even to process that much. We had to know that. Connectedness. People are always getting into games. A game condition is to get into it. So you process, get into it. A no game condition is get out of it. So we don't process, get out of it. The only way you could get out of his old unknowing game condition would be for you as an auditor to shove him into it. And there's where we get the way out is the way through. And that has always been true. So this thing untangles, starts to make very, very interesting sense, and it becomes remarkably easy. Now, quite by accident, we had the exact right, no, exactly correct game condition formula a long time ago when we had our first rudimentary communication formula. It says cause-distance effect. Cause-distance effect with a preclear cause. And that is the way you have to process. You have to get the preclear to do it, and the preclear to create an effect, and that is the proper formula, cause this effect. With the preclear effect, a process that's supposed to put that effect is a process which will spin the preclear in, because it's a no-game condition. Did you ever see a dead man playing a game? Well, that's a no-game condition. Follow me? Now, here in the Psychology of the Fundamentals of Thought, in the Trinity edition, which was the translated edition, we have in here at the back a partial list of game conditions. And these game conditions are, and I'll read them very rapidly, attention. Now, part of attention is interest. Attention is a heavy button. Interest is a light button. These are all parts of game. You see, games are basically freedom
barriers, purposes. That's the basically game. But none of those things process, which was what was remarkable to make this discovery of game. And at first, by the way, in research, this would have knocked your brains out if you'd been doing it. It was horrible. But although I knew it was game conditions, none of the elements I could isolate as a game's condition worked on a pre-clear. Games consist of freedom, purposes, and barriers. Now, you tell a pre-clear to knock up a wall so that you can't go through it. All right, that's fine. Knock up a wall so that you can't go through it. You know it's not good practice? Figure out some way to restrict somebody else's freedom. It's not a good process. Invent some purposes for life. It's not a good process. And so if a game was what life was doing, why didn't its three basic elements process? Well, that's because its fate is a tricky little fellow. He's tricky. He's much worse than that. He's devious. He only plays games that have specialized conditions. The snob. And you get these games' conditions then, arduously arrived at by just trial and error, because once we had games' conditions, that wasn't enough, because freedoms, purposes, and barriers wasn't, it describes the game perfectly. You can write things and talk to people and they'll agree with you, but they don't process. So games had to be all broken to pieces, just broken flat down and two pieces in order to make the four conditions, all of the conditions, valid. That were valid processing conditions. And my golly, here was another list of about 1,000 possible game conditions. And out of these, only these seem to work in processing. There are undoubtedly some others. I'm sure of it. But in a couple of months, I haven't been able to find them. I'm sure there are some others. And these are the processable buttons, game conditions, attention, identity, effect on opponents, no effect on self, can't have on opponents and goals in their areas, have on tools of play, own goals and fields, purpose, problems of play, self-determinism, opponents, possibility of loss, the possibility of winning, no communication, and a no communication factor, non-arrival, and we will add to this, control. You can just add that into your notes. Control. Start, change, stop. And it was actually control, which has to be added to that list, that was the most significant of these factors. But regardless of all that, what on earth were we doing fooling around with somebody who had to do something or be processed in a direction which was something more than desperate? You have to process him in the direction of how would you kill everybody? How would you stop everything from going? How would you knock off your mother? How would you cut your own throat? In order to get any recovery, because his former action on these things so badly violated truth that he himself was unable to return the truth thereafter. You see that? By entering an untruthful circumstance to the degree that your pre-clear has entered it on life's track, his recovery of truth lies through the eradication of the untruthful condition. Now we get no game conditions, and we get knowing all. Being able to not know everything. Serenity. These are no game conditions. The kid is about to figure this. ACP, Phoenix. That's the last one. But, you know, it's a funny thing, but everything that seems to be wrong with a Satan is evidently some lower harmonic on what he is. Odd fact. Satan is motionless, and dead bodies are motionless, and therefore a dead body is a harmonic on a Satan. You see? And that's true, too. Listen to this list. These don't process. You just don't care to pay any attention to these at all. These take place if you process game conditions. Serenity, namelessness, having no identity at all, no effects on opponents, effects on self or team, have everything, can't have nothing, solutions. If you ask the guy for a solution, solution, little mistake, so it was made on a repeat one time, he just spins right in. You have to ask him for a problem, and don't let him solve it, and a problem, and don't let him solve it, and a problem, don't let him solve that one. And all of a sudden he says, you know, I can have a problem. I don't have to solve it. Now we get this thing called pan-determinism. Certain process. Self-determinism process. How could you be more of an individual than you are? A process is like that. Invent some additional names for yourself. That process is. Invent some more names for yourself. Invent some more faces you could wear. But pan-determinism of being able to run both sides of it doesn't work. Friendship for everybody doesn't work. Understanding everything and everybody doesn't work. Total communication, being communication with everything. No communication whatsoever, being in communication with nothing. Win and lose on no game condition. The dirtiest thing you can do to some athlete. He's been in there, like, you know, and he's getting all set, and he wins the championship, and they put him up, or whatever they do to him, and hang him up with belts, and get him a cup, and so forth, and there he stands. You come along and process him. There he stands. But the funny part of it is, you can't process it. It's a win, or a lose. He got knocked flat, he lost the championship, never boxed thereafter, there he lies on the canvas, you'd say, obviously, that is the engram to run on the gate, obviously, now, boy, you sure better leave that alone. Leave a winner or lose alone. Having no universe whatsoever, having no playing field, arriving anywhere and dying. These are all no game conditions. Now, that's a fabulous state of affairs, isn't it? Those are all the things where the Satan should arrive. They're the things that Satan should be. An able man should be able to have and assume those things. Those are the truths of life. These are the precious jewels of life. But you try to process them directly in eclipse glitch. And hence the enigma. Now we're not talking about the enigma science talk. We're talking about the enigma of about 50,000 years of figure on this same subject. Why didn't anybody crack it? That was because of this. Obviously, if a person was in good shape, he'd know an awful lot. Obviously, if he's in good shape, he'd be able to forget or not know anything, obviously. He'd be serene. He wouldn't have to have a name or fame or identity. He'd have to be willing to have no effect on anybody. Let them do as they please. God bless you, my son. Go and spin some more. It should be possible for him to have everything there is. He should be pan-determined about everything. He should be able to solve things. Obviously, these things should be able to take place. He should be able to be anybody's friend. He should be able to understand anything. He should be able to communicate or not communicate. He should be able to take wins and loses. He should be able to have no universe or universe. He should be able to have a playing field or no playing field. He certainly ought to be able to arrive. And he ought to be able to die comfortably after all his pretty things, these funerals. Although Scientologists, I notice, are getting more and more perfunctory. They say, my mother died this afternoon. Should I go down to the funeral? Well, I know you're busy. Then they say that's beside the point, and they tell you how she got some mock up picked out in Portugal. That's right, I mean, it's real wild. They tell you some mock up, they got the baby being born in Portugal tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, so she died this afternoon. You hear these wild things. I'm not one of those. I mean, people just come around and tell you, and they happen to be too. I'm not trying to put anything off on you.
Now, if you can't process any of these truths, then how could you ever attain them? Since they are desirable. Because unless you can have some part of those truths, you can't enter games knowingly, willingly, or play them well. Now, you take somebody who is really in a good, high level of truth, in a no-game condition, if he's in a good level of truth, he should be able to turn around and play almost any game that he ever could play. Any game, he may well be able to think one up, play one, have a good time, enjoy it, and knock it off when he wanted to knock it off. He should be able to do this. Very interesting, isn't it? But by processing him straight at that condition, out of no-game condition, he never arrives. You have to run out, you might say, the old games. You have to run through games condition. All right, now let's figure out a way where you can be a lying, beating cheat. It's good. It's good. Oh, it's been a better lying, beating cheat. When you come along and play football for years, and then all of a sudden switch your identity and say, I've never played football in my life, and you yourself don't remember ever having played football, and so on, boy, are you in for it. That's a tough one. So as hard as it is for people to think, I hate to mention this thing called past life, they've been outlawed. Then the minute books of the Hubbard Dianetic Research Foundation, Elizabeth, New Jersey, you will see a motion discussed there to just make Ron shut up on this subject because it's unpopular. Well, look, if it's so unpopular, somebody must have some kind of a resistance to it of some kind or another. I don't think anything average had happened to you during your whole current lifetime. Your mother beat you, fed you through a sausage grinder, your father was mean to you, or dropped on your head when you were one. You had 15 AAs, and you were boiled in oil, and you were captured for the Japanese and shot regularly every morning. So what? You know all about it. You can sit there. Now, the auditor sits there, and he says to him, three, well, now let's see. What's happened for you? That. Why should we ask such a question if we knew it wouldn't be wrong? You get the colossal joke about the whole thing. If he knew, it wouldn't be wrong. And the funniest thing happens to a case when he's processed these days. He starts arguing with the auditor. They always do. They say, but there's nothing on this. There's nothing on the subject of books. You know, he's going, there's nothing on books. I've never had any difficulty with books. I've never been hit with a book. I, as a matter of fact, don't even read when I'm sick. And the auditor somehow or another, by making him spot objects, has all of a sudden found that he couldn't spot a book. He said something outrageous like this. Well, I don't spot books because they're angry at me, or something like that. He just passed it along, you know? Perfectly normal. The auditor says, well, all right, let's spot that book over there. There's nothing wrong with books. What's the matter with you? You're nuts. He'll say, I know what's wrong with me. It was my mother. That's what was wrong with me. And the fact that I was in boarding school and every day, why, there were three older boys who beat me, that's what's wrong with me. And so that's what you're supposed to be out of me. You say, find another book. But there's nothing wrong with books. I don't see what you're talking about. It is not making sense. You're not a good auditor. They told me you were a good auditor, but I don't believe it now. And all of a sudden, my books start looking so funny to him. They start leaping up in the air, doing peculiar things. Figures start walking off of them. I mean, with his naked eyes. Books lying on the table, and a figure suddenly walks out of it and says, you jerk.
he's liable to tell the auditor, well, I've had it now. I didn't know I could ever have a delusion. The next thing you know, I say, good God. You know, I believe I've had some connection or another with a publishing firm somewhere. But I don't know what that's all about. Oh, you thought about 20 past lives back when he was the, you understand, it had to be a game condition. He was caught. We're not looking for the victim now. You can tell your preachers we are if you want to, but don't process it in that direction. We're not looking for victims. We're looking for villains. And we find out that during the Spanish Inquisition, he had sole charge of burning all heretical books and heretical authors. And then what really loused it up in the next life, he was an heretic. And that's just the way it goes. It really isn't the old overt act motivator phenomenon. This is a later sequence. Now you understand that way up high here are these games conditions and no games conditions. That's a very high theory. Proceeding from those are all sorts of theories of phenomena that we've been studying, thousands of them. The overt act motivator sequence. That is explained by game phenomena, but it isn't at the same level. It's actually a new and different phenomena. It is a planned or agreed upon phenomena which can fight only because a game condition has existed. Now, we've studied the ways and means of effort on how people resist being shot. And we run effort processing one way or the other to get them unshot. Well, it has some workability. But the funny part of it is what are they doing? Getting shot. Now, what explains that? Why can they get shot? You understand? Now, it's a silly question for anybody to ask, but how is it that you could walk out and get in front of a bullet which would enter your body and shoot you? Boy, that takes some doing. You figure that out, it takes some doing. What are you doing in a position where this can happen? How did you get there? Well, you say, well, I was mean to bodies and finally they all fell in on me. Well, this is over an act motivator sequence. It's a very low reason. No, there was a game sometime or another way back on the track. A program like this. You saw a body walking along and you said, isn't that cute? Very interesting. Walking around. Well, what do you know? And then you decided this blood will follow this up. So you tried to get it to work in another direction. And it isn't a day, you were at the nickel. You said, walk to the right. You know, said, move over that way. And it didn't. And you said, well, you just see a little something or other. That was the end of that body. We forgot all about that. Time went on, you had to do a lot of other things, and there was another body one day, and you saw that body, and you killed that one, some patient or another. And then you go way down the time track someplace, and there's a body walking along, and you feel a little suspicious of this body somehow or another. And you reach over the feel of its head or something with a beam, and in you go, and you say, now look what happened to me. Look what happened to me. I touched the body and it pulled me in. Bodies are vacuous. I am a victim. How did you get into a position to be a victim? And that is what you audit out of the pre-clip. Just how did you make it possible for you to be a victim? Because being a victim is one of the doggonest positions for a Satan to get into. It is almost impossible for a Satan which has no hand, no motion, to be a victim. You see, with what pride an individual would display the fact that he was stuck in a paraplegic body. See? God. Look at how much of a victim I got to be. And somebody else's sympathy is really probably more or less awe. Boy. And that's kind of the way it is.
And then you come along and you add it out as being a victim. What works? Does it work? He doesn't know how he got to be a victim. He really is a victim. He's upset about life. He can't cope with it. It's out from Bobby's control. But you come along as an auditor, you have to find the game he was playing, wherein he was caused, which precedes all these other games where he got a great enough to be a victim. Do you follow me? Well, there we have this weird, weird riddle of life. A patient with truth, the spirit was totally capable, and it fell from grace. And it doesn't regrace itself until you run out the fell from grace. By giving him a not fall from grace to make it worth his while. You have to increase the number of falls from grace on the track before you let him fall. That's an interesting thing. So, to say offhand that an individual must get in and must play vigorously and must play life desperately is not true. That's not true. To say that because a man plays life desperately, he suffers from it isn't true either. To say he must be calm isn't true. To say he must be active isn't true. But it's true that if you play the game, admit it. Well, I had a little something to tell you there about game conditions, and I hope they make a little sense to you. There's much more material on this. Some of these processes that stem from this are too violent to audit unless you have a perfect and thorough command of modern procedures. It's true. I mean, a procedure just doesn't stay under control. They just go and blow. Neurons all over the field, so to speak. Now, there are processes along this level which are very auditable. It tells an auditor at once what he can audit and what he had better not. And it tells us also, more important to us, how man got into this mess and gives his ways and means to get him out of it. Thank you.